This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. The following is a recording of the khutbah I gave this past Friday about developing a meaningful relationship with the Qur'an. Before we get started with the khutbah, I wanted to share some very exciting news with you. Inshallah, this summer I will be teaching Qalam's Arabic Intensive here in Dallas, Texas. Alhamdulillah, I will be continuing with the tradition that has been established over the last 7 years, where every summer here in Dallas, Texas, I conduct an intensive in which we cover the fundamentals of Quranic Arabic, and the intensive is accompanied by lectures on the tafsir of the Quran, where we go through the in-depth meaning of a surah of the Quran every single evening. So inshallah, I'm very excited and we're getting ready and gearing up for the Arabic intensive this year in Dallas, Texas. Inshallah, I want to encourage everyone to go to the Qalam website, check out the program for the Arabic intensive and sign up. I look forward to seeing you here in Dallas, where we can take a journey together in understanding the Book of Allah and developing a meaningful relationship with the Qur'an. Now, we'll go ahead and get to the khutbah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi aliyya dhati azim sifati sami simati kabir al-shan. Jalil al-qadir al-rafi' al-dhikri muta'i al-amri jaliy al-burhan. فخيم الاسم غزيل علمي وسيل حلمي كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح صدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس واحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين ودعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أفلا يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها. Before I get started with the topic of the khutbah today, and what I wanted to talk about, and what I'd like to address here today, I wanted to touch very briefly, but at the same time, not for the lack of importance or significance, but I wanted to touch very briefly on the ongoing circumstances that we are dealing with, not only in this country, but all over the world. There are certain values that the Quran presents as universal values. Now, what's meant by that universal values is that there are certain teachings. وَإِذَا خَدْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. There are certain teachings that were consistent throughout all the teachings of all the prophets. Every single prophet, messenger of God that came, there was a checklist of certain things that they all covered. And then there were certain unique things, like 5 prayers in a day, or fasting throughout the entirety of the month of Ramadan. Those are things that are more unique to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ummah Muhammadiyah, those are things that are more unique in our Sharia. Zakat, the way it's executed, and the fact that it's 2.5%, and those types of things. There are certain things that are unique from certain teachings of prophets from other prophets. However, there are certain things that every single prophet had to address. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. Every single messenger that was sent was given the fundamental message that there is no one worthy of worship except for Allah. All of them. Every single one. Another place in the Quran, Allah says that the checklist that every single prophet had to check off was Tawheed, oneness of God. Belief in the day of judgment in the afterlife. Respecting one's parents. Fulfilling the rights of your family. Taking care of orphans and needy people. People that are struggling in the society. That is something every single prophet addressed. And one of those teachings that every single prophet and messenger of God addressed throughout time is وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the sanctity of life. That we mandated upon Bani Israel. Upon all the prophets and messengers that came in Bani Israel. That مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. That someone who violates the sanctity of life, even if it be in regards to one individual, wrongfully takes a life, it is as if they have killed all of humanity, because they have violated the sanctity of life. And if this is not checked, this is not curbed, this is not stopped, it will start a chain reaction that will eventually lead to destruction all over this world. And whosoever makes an effort to preserve and to protect the sanctity, even of one life, it is as if they have safeguarded the sanctity of the life of all of humanity. And so I wanted to talk about this because we are living in a time where the sanctity of life is gone. Where you can open up your phone every morning, every afternoon, every evening. And in this country, you can read about somebody getting shot, getting killed. Not just getting shot, but like having entire rounds unloaded within them. Young black men in this country getting butchered and sacrificed by the people that were supposed to protect them, by police officers in this country. There's one fundamental issue. You can argue your politics all day long. This minbar is not to argue politics. And I'm not here to make a political argument. But the one thing we all have to agree on, not that we can agree on, we must agree on. Because God said so in the Quran. Allah said it in the revelation. Life is sacred. And when life is violated, we cannot tolerate it. Because otherwise we are exposing the hypocrisy that we have allowed to fester within us. When we yell and scream at the top of our lungs, from the rooftops, about Syria, or about Gaza, or about Kashmir, or about, you know, Central Africa, or wherever else it may be. We scream at the top of our lungs, that why is that life not sacred? How can that life be violated? Nobody cares. When we can completely turn our back on it happening in our own backyard. Because it doesn't affect me directly, or so we think. But nobody will be safe from the wave of evil that will come in the wake of such destruction. May Allah protect us all. I wanted to talk today about our relationship with the Quran and our relationship with the Book of Allah. We are nearing the month of Ramadan. That is something maybe some people are aware of. And a lot of us might not have realized how close we are to the month of Ramadan. We are maybe 5 weeks away from beginning the month of Ramadan. And every year, we're going to start to hear a lot of talks and lectures about Ramadan. I'm going to try to make it specific and pointed enough that hopefully it's a source of benefit. And it's something to reflect upon. But the fact of the matter is, every single year we engage in the same cycle. And it really hasn't changed anything up till now. Where we go into the month of Ramadan, we're very excited, we're very elated. We try to get a few things done. We fall short of a lot of what we wanted to get done. And by the time Ramadan ends, we're usually extremely fatigued because we did not have good conditioning, spiritual conditioning going into Ramadan. So we're usually extremely fatigued. And then Ramadan ends. Obviously, we have another celebration. We engage in that celebration. And three, by the third day of Ramadan, of Eid being over, we usually are back to exactly where we were 3 days before Ramadan started. When Ramadan is a month of transformation, it's about changing your life for the better. Now, how do we take that from a slogan and a cliche and make it a reality? Well, one of the areas of our lives that we have to change, that Ramadan specifically comes to facilitate change in regards to, is our relationship with the Quran, our relationship with the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was sent down. It was a month of Ramadan in which the revelation first came. It was a month of Ramadan that every single Ramadan the Prophet ﷺ would sit down and review the entirety of what had been revealed up to that point with the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And in the final Ramadan of his life, he did that not once, but he did that twice over. As he told his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha on his deathbed, that ya Fatima, I knew that my end was near because this past Ramadan, Jibreel reviewed the Quran with me not once, but twice. So Ramadan has a very unique relationship with the Book of Allah, with the Quran. But that has to go beyond just a slogan and a cliche. How do we make it a reality in our lives? So I wanted to talk very briefly about developing a more intimate, a more personal, a more meaningful relationship with the Quran and how we can go about in doing so. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is we understand the significance of reciting the Quran. And my objective here is to not downplay the importance of reciting the Quran. But we're well aware of the importance of that, the significance of that. But what I wanted to talk a little bit today was about putting some effort and making some progress in regards to understanding the Quran and how we can practically go about in doing so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls on us in the Quran. There is a myth that exists in certain communities. And some folks will understand what I mean by this, but it's beneficial for us all to really think about this. There's a myth that exists in certain segments and pockets of our community that understanding the Quran is the job and the responsibility of the scholars, the ulama, the learned. They understand the Quran. Us peasants, we should just read it, decorate our walls with it, maybe memorize a few surahs of it, and then that's simply it. That's our job. The job of the understanding of the Quran is the job of the scholars, the learned. But we have to really depart from that. We have to come out of that mentality. Because Allah calls on all of us in the Quran when He says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ. Why do not all of them ponder and reflect and think and understand the Quran? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or are their hearts completely locked up? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. Had it been from someone else other than God, they would have found so many contradictions within it. There are so many powerful realizations there. The Prophet ﷺ, in a very fascinating hadith narrated by Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that we were sitting with the Prophet ﷺ and the Prophet ﷺ was lecturing us. He was talking to us about certain things. And while he was talking to us, the Prophet ﷺ, he looked up at the sky. He stopped, he became quiet, and he looked up at the sky. So we became very attentive. What's he doing? And then when the Prophet ﷺ looked back down at us, he said, هذا أوان يختلس العلم. That this is هذا أوان ذهاب العلم. That this is the time when knowledge will start to depart. Knowledge will leave the people. And there was a young but very intelligent Sahabi of Medina. He was an Ansari. His name was Labid. Ziyad bin Labid al-Ansari. So Ziyad, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says to the Prophet ﷺ, وَكَيْفَ يُخْتَلَسُ الْعِلْمُ مِنَّا. How will knowledge be taken away from us? وَقَدْ قَرَأْنَا الْقُرْآنِ. We have read and learned the Qur'an. وَنُقْرِئُهُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَهُمْ يُقْرِئُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. And we taught it to our children. And our children will teach it to their children. And we'll pass the Qur'an on. And as long as we pass on the Qur'an, how can knowledge leave us? We'll always have the deen. We'll always have the knowledge. We'll always have the religion. And the Prophet said, "Thakilatka ummuka ya Ziyad." He said that, you know, "I'm very disappointed in you, O Ziyad. Kuntu ahsibuka min afqahi rajulin bil Madina. I used to think that you were one of the most intelligent people here in Medina. But looks like I was mistaken. You really don't understand." He said that, "Look at the people who came before us. The Christians and the Jewish nations that came before us. Do they not still have their scripture? Of course, we believe that it's distorted, but do they have the book? Do they have scripture? They still do. It still sits on their shelves. It's still passed on from generation to generation. They still read from it and recite from it in their weekly congregations. They still have the scripture. But they lost the knowledge and the understanding." And that's when the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, and he taught all of us the lesson that the Prophet ﷺ taught us, that the understanding of the Book of Allah is what's really important. And this understanding of the Book of Allah will continue to depart and leave from the people unless they make an effort to stop it. Until a time will come when people will recite very beautifully, and they will gather together in hordes, large numbers, and they'll have congregations, and the Quran will be recited beautifully. But there won't be a single person in that congregation who really understands what is being recited. And there won't be a single person focused within their prayer. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Lakin lamma lam yastafid an-nasu minhu wa yafhamuhu haqqa fahmihi." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Yushiku an tadkhula masjid jama'atin fala tara fihi rajulan khashi'a." You could go into a masjid that is full, and not a single person will have focus and concentration there. So that's what we have to lose. That's what's at stake. Our religion becoming mere ritual and becoming meaningless, not having any purpose or meaning to it. So this understanding of the Quran is not a luxury. It is not an exclusive right of the elite. It is something that all of us have to engage in, and all of us have to take seriously. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, there are narrations where Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, there are two things everyone needs to learn. He said, "Tafaqqahu fi sunnah wa tafaqqahu fi al-arabiyya fa'inna al-Qur'an arabi." He says, number one, understand the life and times of the Prophet ﷺ. Learn the sunnah. Learn the life of the Messenger ﷺ. And number two, start to learn some Arabic, because the Qur'an was revealed in Arabic, so you can interact with the Qur'an directly. Qatada, one of the students of the Sahaba, he used to say, "A'miru bihi qulubakum wa'miru bihi buyutakum." That strengthen your hearts with the understanding of the Quran, and strengthen your homes, your families, through the values that the Quran teaches you. But if we've never understood it, we've never put any time into it, how do we even know what values the Quran is giving to us? So, very briefly, but as I said before, very seriously, I'd like to suggest a little game plan, an action plan, about how we can start to change the dynamic of our relationship with the Quran. Not just our relationship, but even our children and our families and our homes and our entire communities. And here's a very simple, humble plan that I'd like to suggest. Number one, we have to dedicate time every single day on a regular basis, whatever that means for someone. But we have to dedicate regular, consistent time to reading the translation of the Quran. Now I know there are oftentimes many conversations in our community, the translation is not the Quran. No, it's not. Translations are not perfect. No, they're not. Of course they're not. Only the Quran is perfect, because it's Kalamullah. It's the speech of God. But it is an explanation, a summarized explanation of the meaning of the Quran. And sometimes this is a trap and a trick of Shaytan. It's a ploy that Shaytan uses against us. He keeps telling you that there's going to come this magical time in your life where all of a sudden you will find yourself with 3 years and nothing to do. You will become completely made free for 3 years, and then you will go off to some foreign land, travel halfway across the world, ride a camel, learn Arabic, become fluent like a Bedouin in Arabic, and then you will understand the Quran for yourself. I can introduce you to dozens of people that I have known who have lived with that fantasy the last 20, 30 years and are now 40, 50 years old, and they're still where they were when they were 20 years old. Versus that, I can also introduce you to people who became Muslim 2 or 3 years ago, but took whatever opportunities and whatever resources they had in front of them seriously. They started reading the translation of the Quran and some of the other things I'm going to suggest here. And 2 or 3 years later, they've developed a more thorough understanding, a more deep understanding of the Quran than that other guy did in 30 years. And again, it's from the tawfiq of Allah, yes. But it's also about, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to really think and figure out what you should do. So we need to start being practical about this. Take a translation and start reading from a translation of the Quran. It is better than nothing. It is in fact a lot more than nothing. A lot better than nothing. So take that seriously. Today our translations decorate our shelves just like the Mus'haf decorates our shelves. We just own a translation because it's the thing you're supposed to do. But when's the last time you picked up and read from a translation? Take it seriously. One page every day. It's in English or whatever language suits you. Urdu or Bangla or Indonesian or Malay or whatever your language may be. But start reading a translation of the Quran. Number two, start learning Quranic vocabulary. It's very simple. There's a famous list that's online. Most people have probably seen it. 80% of the words in the Quran, right? It's a very concise vocabulary list. But start learning one new vocab word a day from the Quran. Today you learn what the word Al-Kitab means. Al-Kitab means the book. Tomorrow you learn the word Malaika. Malaika means angels. Third day you learn the word Nisa. Nisa means women. Fourth day you learn the word so on and so on. Nuzul. Nuzul means to something to be revealed or sent down. Muflihun. Muflihun means successful people. That's it. But you see in 5 days how much progress you've made. Now imagine doing that one word a day for 365 days. Think about how much of the Quran you would start to understand when you're reading it now. But we don't do that because it's not exotic enough. It's not cool enough. I don't have pictures in front of pyramids when I do that. Somebody went to Egypt to learn Arabic, but he came back with a picture in front of a pyramid. If I learned a vocab word every day for 3 years, I learned a lot of Quran, but I ain't got a picture in front of a pyramid. So it's not exciting enough. But start taking that seriously. Read the translation. Learn one new vocab word a day. Number three is learn and read about the stories in the Quran. The different stories Allah talks about in the Quran. The story of Musa, the story of Adam, the story of Ibrahim. And learn lessons from it. And tell those stories to your children. Number four is study some of the themes in the Quran. What is the concept of taqwa? God consciousness. Sabr, patience. Tawakkul, putting your trust and faith in Allah. Like learn about these themes of the Quran. And this is something we can start chipping away and doing every single day starting from now. That way, when the month of Ramadan comes and you stand in Taraweeh here on the first night, it won't be a mystery anymore. You'll actually interact with it. And then you continue that out throughout the month of Ramadan. By the time the month of Ramadan ends, your relationship with the Quran will be completely transformed, inshallah. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وَمَنْ تَبِعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ Inshallah, before I conclude, the last bit that I wanted to say about the topic that we spoke about today, about building a relationship with the Quran and understanding the Quran, the higher level, there is a higher level. I gave a very basic action item list that I think accommodates most people. But there is a higher level. And there are two things that I will mention in the higher level for the benefit of those people. And for all of us to aspire to that. Number one is to start to then seriously learn and study the Arabic language. That should be a goal that we all have in mind somewhere down the road. And don't worry, number one, it's easier than most people realize. If I teach Arabic to people, and I am the Arlington-born son of Pakistani immigrants, teaching Arabic to people, that should tell you anybody can do it. Anybody can do it. Number one, the Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu very famously said to Alamul Arabiya fainaha min dinikum. Learn Arabic because it will facilitate your religion, the learning and the practice of your religion for you. And number two is trying to find opportunities to sit with, to listen to learn from the explanation, the tafsir of the Quran in front of people who have dedicated their entire lives to the study and the teaching of the Book of Allah. Scholars of this religion. We are very blessed that alhamdulillah, one of my teachers, Dr. Masood, here is amongst us, but finding time, making time, finding opportunities to sit with people like that and to learn the meaning, the tafsir, the explanation of the Quran from people who have dedicated their entire lives to this discipline. There's a profound level of benefit in that. So I wanted to mention that here at the conclusion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Qur'an the spring of our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Qur'an the light that guides us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Qur'an a resource to release us from our worries and our concerns. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Qur'an a companion for us in this life, a companion for us in the grave, and an intercessor on our behalf on the Day of Judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الامور كلها واجنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الاخره اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيم الصلاة